Welcome back to the Daughters of the Moon podcast. We're grateful you can join us for another week.
You said, all right.
And today we have our special guest, Dr. Natasha Kasam Paris. She is a naturopathic doctor, hypnotherapist, and executive wellness coach who has been a practicing physician for over 15 years. More importantly, however, she is a daughter, sister, Didi Masi, wife, granddaughter of Nur Jahan, and declared healed ancestor. Dr. Natasha's mission is to help people heal generational trauma and restrictive beliefs that block the way of self-compassion and lasting well-being. Today, Dr. Natasha utilizes her clinical background, rich cultural heritage, trauma-informed approaches, and wisdom gained through lived experiences to help people heal patterns of self-sacrifice and disempowerment in order to thrive. She loves sharing her life's work and inspiring others to discover and pursue their own. She is available to speak at your next event, retreat, or conference, and we'll put all your information in our show notes. So welcome.
It's very nice. Thank you.
Very nice to have you on here with us.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about your journey or where you are right now in your journey and those
Yeah, kind of- well, it's ever evolving, right? Day by day. So I can share with you a little bit about my journey as a naturopathic doctor and then what has evolved through being of service to patients as well as being on a path of healing for myself. So I knew at a very, very young age that I remember having a very visceral awakening moment where I really declared that I was going to be a certain, and that was at 5 years old.
Wow.
What I didn't know then was that my commitment to ease suffering in the world, at that point, the way through a five-year-old's mind was to take that suffering on and to metabolize it myself for the service of others. And what my journey as being a healer, a naturopathic doctor who suffered from her own different types of health and mental health concerns, I quickly realized that that five-year-old did not need to take on suffering in order to ease suffering.
Yes.
And so what I do now with my healing work is to use this integrative approach of primary care medicine, incorporating hypnotherapy and the wisdom from my culture and giving honor to the different indigenous wisdom that has influenced medicine in so many ways and healing modalities in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And I bring it back to helping people understand that they have their own autonomy of their energy, being able to know the beginning and the end, and really doing the work of compassion, right? Spring Washam shares that all wounds heal, they dissolve in the heart of compassion. And so much of my work is an honor to that and to learn how to distinguish my suffering from somebody else's. So that's a little bit of what got me here.
That's nice. So you've been always very empathic then. And
yes,
taking on those feelings. And I think a lot of people nowadays seem to be dealing with that and trying to figure out how to navigate through being empathic and taking on other people's trauma and emotions and baggage in general.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it happened well before my arrival. I come from a line of healers, but also a line and a culture that had significant traumas impacted upon them and then replicated internally, right? Because there's both.
Yes.
And so, you know, at this point, it's a matter of helping people understand, yes, we want to be empathic or we want to sense and support and really connect with individuals, but we need to be able to distinguish our energy from somebody else's, and that when we're in somebody else's space where we don't have consent, we're actually negatively impacting their well-being as well as our own. So
Yes.
How has that impacted you? I mean, that seems like that really resonates for you. Have you noticed that similar thing as being healers, empaths on your own journey of being able to disturb somebody else's energies in my space, or I'm over here, not with me? Have you recognized that for yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, when I go into somebody's home and I'm doing something with them, I always bless myself sort of thing. And I ask if I can bless them too. That way they don't have my energy as such and I don't have theirs. And we can leave. And I always tell them, I don't want your spirits to come home with me.
Right.
And I don't want to leave any with you. So I like to do this to embrace on us, just have a pure session. So you don't have that, because as an empath, like you said, you can carry so many different emotions in a matter of minutes even. And you really have to, you know, get yourself grounded enough where you go, whoa, that's not taking place here.
Yeah, it's a coming back to your own center and your own sense of belonging to the energy that is yours.
Yeah,
beautiful. That's wonderful that your clients are receiving that and that you really distinguish yours from theirs when you leave and even when you're in the process of doing your work.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just something that we like to do. Even before we start our podcast, we always bless ourselves too to make sure the energy is of goodness for all of us. You know, we want you to feel comfortable, us to be comfortable at the same time. Have no negative influences around us at all. So
yeah,
and I find when you're doing work, especially in a healing modality, but even in general life, just being in somebody's company, that if you've crossed that boundary or they've crossed yours, there's this kind of sticky feeling there. So then you kind of really know, hey, what's up? Who crossed whose? And how do we get this back onto an equal ground that we're back into being in a community kind of thing instead of I'm trying to heal you or you're trying to heal me in a way that is infringing on their rights.
Yeah, absolutely. It really comes back to that place of consent. And that's what I'm hearing in what you're sharing, you know, being able to ask for consent. And then the awareness to discern one's energy from another, that in and of itself is so much of a self journey, right? To be able to understand where I begin, where I end. And when something outside of me, another energy is in my field, you have to first know what your own field looks like, what you've declared it to be. You know, all of that takes years. It can take years of work and discernment. And for me, it's an ever-evolving process of being really, really careful about my intention and where I am in space and belonging to my own terrain here in this
country. So what are some of the ways that you find that you ground yourself, that you know what your own space is to not let those people into that?
That's a beautiful question. Thank you so much for asking it. I go through a set of practices. So the very first is familiar. You mentioned grounding already, but being able to create a fresh new grounding cord when I am first starting my day, but also in between my day and after interactions with individuals, to reset my grounding cord, make sure that it is a wide grounding cord that goes all the way into the crust of the earth. I use a lot of visualization, imagination, declaration to draw myself back and to clear whatever's in my auric bubble. And that's the next thing. I create my auric bubble and really visualize myself in a space, front and back especially, and to the sides, right? I feel like a lot of energy can come through the back of the neck and the back of the body if we're not careful. So really being aware of my space and then filling in with whatever light feels or color feels most in alignment with the core value I'd like to be aligned with that day. Most of the time, it is gold that I'm bringing in, but it might be a different color that my soul really wants to resonate with that day. So I set my space. And then being able to use roses in my energy field, right? Twirling larger than life, beautiful roses that I imagine, kind of picking up anything that is not mine. Any of the I don't knows, I can't, foreign energy, and using that to swirl it around my space like it's a sponge, kind of drawing it all in, and then pulling it outside of my auric bubble and just having it explode into ideally the most fantastical fireworks show, the funner, the more humorous it can be, the more I can feel a sense of like joy and spark of like, yes, I have released, I have let go. I know what my energy and my color is for today. And then I'm just checking that. My gauge, sort of like how vibrant is my core value color today? And yeah. Resetting it each time in each interaction.
Yeah.
Those are a couple of things. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love the roses and the shooting it out. Like that's fun. And I think it's nice to bring that into our spirituality and into how we ground ourselves and protect ourselves, because if it's not fun, then why are we doing it?
Exactly. And the more lightness and fun, I mean, so much of our healing work is the reclaiming of joy and fun and that childhood bubbling awe and wonderment and enchantment. And the more we can use our imagination, the easier healing work, energy work is, as well as energy we bring out into the world and emanate, comes from that bubbling source of delight, right? Because we're having fun living, breathing, being.
Yes.
Being, that's yeah. Be authentic. Be the true people that we're supposed to be.
Exactly.
On this earth, rather. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I know you with me and Kim and I, when we're out someplace and you get somebody's energy comes up from behind you or whatever, and you go, whoa, no, you can't land here. not happening. But I think too with recognizing it, that's what's happening, and controlling it is the whole secret with this, right? Not secret, we want to share it, but it's the same thing as it's just keeping ourselves as cleansed as we possibly can. Because we know, like you said, we're sending that energy back out when it's good stuff, right? Around us. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Just another form of hygiene, right?
Absolutely.
It's our energy hygiene. And the more of us that really commit to that path of discerning and owning our own energy, our own light, our own soul's work, I think that has a great impact on the peace that we can bring to humanity and our connections with one another.
Absolutely. And good that you reminder to people that you do have to tap in throughout the day, because we set that in the morning as our intention going forward.
Yes.
It doesn't always stick depending on the situations we get into. We need to revamp that and put that back up and get out there and put that shield on.
Yes, absolutely. During my career, I worked in performance medicine, but also in urgent care, which meant that I was seeing anywhere from like 20 to 25 patients in a day in deep urgent care for me. It's a very, very scary place when your body is exhibiting symptoms that you don't necessarily understand or are in the way of your life's agenda for that day. Like, this is inconvenient, you know, those moments. So holding space for patients at that level, I had never been as consistent with my energy work and clearing a room as I was when I was in urgent care. Because you're seeing so many people, you've got to make sure that you're grounding, clearing, and discerning your energy so you could be a contribution, a clear contribution for the next person that entered into your space, right? That was the only way I could sustain being the provider I wished to be. So when you're interacting with a lot of people, I feel like the practice of being able to do energy work becomes more and more vital for your vitality. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely.
Yes. And clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have retreats and things like that you do now, or what do you do to embrace people and let them know what you're doing?
Yeah, so I am in primary care practice and private practice. So I see patients in person, and then I also do telehealth. And so that's the main way. And then there are times where I'll do group classes, group workshops, whether that's done online or in person. And then sometimes I will, you know, support or can be part of being in a retreat or helping in that way. So yeah, that's some of the ways in which I help people. I love group experiences. I feel like so much of the wellness field and so much of our, like the conventional models, they can become so siloed and the individual can feel very alone in that process. And it can be very arduous, you know, it's very heavy to understand all the different pieces. When you bring people together, it taps us back to our deep cultural roots that we were meant to do this healing work together, that it was meant to be fun and creative, that we could grieve together, and we could hold space for joy and hope together. And so I love group work, and I see you both nodding. Yes. And I'd love to hear more about, well, you're doing a podcast that in and of itself is community healing work. Do you also do retreats? Is that something that, and workshops, is that something that you feel really connected to?
I haven't actually done a workshop, but I've been to many, and I really do. I love that community. I love that it's usually when you're in a situation like that, it's like-minded souls. You're there for the same reason. Even if you're getting different things from it, I love that. That's something that we're talking about doing in the future.
Yeah.
The podcast for us was definitely a way of getting it out there and getting information out to people that maybe are searching for some information, and, you know, just different people to tell their stories and how they got there and how they put their light out into the world to be of service. So,
yeah.
I've done some things where I've been with groups, yes, and I do enjoy them. I have fun with them when I do. I find I have a really light side of myself that comes out, and I'm giggly in that way anyway. And so that lighter side of me actually expands even more so when I'm in front of a group of people, and I like to share what I know, and find out what about people and what they're doing too. So yeah, I got one coming up just shortly here, and pretty excited about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's a charity thing, but I like doing charities as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's definitely the season of, well, for me right now, you know, I kind of name each season and put an intentional word or a value, that one of my values, like really concentrating on that. And this season is a lot about generosity toward myself, embodying that, and then also emanating that. And I loved hearing that retreats for you bring a sense of lightness, like a giddy, giggly, you know, a funner, and that gets to, that's just so beautiful. That's what we hope happens in every
Kim
retreat.
Always comes with me, so she has done them with me.
I'm the helper. I'm the behind the scenes.
And she's a, nice. A big support person too when I'm doing this. So even knowing that she's there too, and her energy is so wonderful too, that by the time we walk into the room and we go, okay, the energy, because I bless everybody at my, but those two, I like to bring out and do my Palo Santo, whatever, because I believe that people, once you bring out something like a Palo Santo or something, some people generate that goodness and kindness that come with it when you're passing it around, you know, and they actually sense the ease that you're trying to push out to them. So that, to me, that's beautiful. I like to do that. We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. And it really awakens the senses and brings that sense of honor for the lineages that had this wisdom that we now get to use. And so there's a part of us, I feel like in our cells and our DNA, that's like, I remember.
Yes.
And that feels like a really delightful experience.
Yeah.
A place where it feels like, oh, this is home. This feels familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think with like the pandemic, but not just the pandemic, but just as society advances so much with computers and things like that, do you feel like in some ways we've lost that sense of community, and that's something that we really need to bring back and embody that in our practices?
That's such a beautiful question. I'd say that it's different for everybody. I think that a lot of individuals got very clear that community mattered to them. I think that there were great advancements in science that recognized the impact of our social, our community health on our overall well-being. So I think that a lot of us lost community, recognized how important it was for us, and began to choose our community with greater awareness. I think a lot of people let go of some aspects of community that weren't actually a fit for them because the distance, the pause gave them that moment. And then I feel like there's been a reach from people to be like, what is the community that I choose, knowing that this is so vital for my well-being? Mm-hmm. Now I feel like people are reaching out and trying to find their community, whether in person or online. And that's another thing that I feel like happened through the pandemic is all of a sudden these, for example, different types of yoga studios or healing communities began to open up to invite people to show up on Zoom. And now we were connecting with people all the way across the world. Right. And that began to expand our whole definition and experience of community. So I think that's a really beautiful thing that's happened. And in Portland, Oregon, which is where I live, I now see that a lot of people are like, I need to go here. It's time for classes. It's time for workshops. I want to be in community because I know I've missed it so much.
Yes.
So yeah, I definitely feel, do you sense that reaching, that people are having this importance that they are calling in and recognizing?
Yeah, I think so. And I think too, I liked what you said, that it gave everybody that pause to align better with what actually is we're aligned with. Because I think so often we throw ourselves into situations out of either obligation or boredom or whatever. And then we get into them and it doesn't align with our soul. And then we
suffer for it.
Yeah, we suffer.
Exactly. Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Being around energies that are supportive, that are on that same, but we're aligned to the same values. Mm-hmm. We want to practice energetic hygiene. We want to practice owning our own nervous system regulation. I feel like more people are gravitating toward, yeah, this feels good. And I'm no longer willing to place myself in situations that don't feel good or that aren't willing to repair, right? Sometimes we have to deal with discomfort. We can't bypass that. But if that community, right? That community is willing to speak into repair, that's beautiful. And if they're unwilling to do that, then it feels like, okay, I've got to choose whether or not this really is in the best interest for both of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was. It's okay.
It will come back.
Yes. Yeah.
It always does. Yeah.
Exactly. I love that. I heard that line from a particular hypnotherapist who did a lot of memory work. Okay. And I love that they said to themselves, it always comes back. It always does. And I just love that line. So you just reflected something that sparked a fun thing from that I learned from somebody too, and you picked up as well. It's a great way, what we say to ourselves, what we say about.
True.
Right?
So it's, I think too, with my maturity in life and things like that, you know, you always worry about, you know, if you start forgetting things. And so at first I was panicking about it. Oh, you know, like there's dementia in my family and that kind of thing. And then I thought, why are you doing that to yourself? And you know that, you forgot it for a second. And then I go, yeah, because you've had so much in your mind, woman, you know, and it'll come back. Don't panic. It'll come back. And it does. You know, which is bringing it to, it was having these podcasts and talking to people like yourself and that. Like, we're so inspired at the end of the podcast. Like, both of us were just like, wow. And we're like, worried what we learned and things like that. And the feeling is so overwhelming and beautiful, you know, each time that we celebrate that once we're finished. It's beautiful. It's just a lovely, so lovely to speak to people like yourself.
Yeah. And you have such a positive and happy, energetic
energy.
Or energy and aura around you, that's nice, because when we're putting that out to the followers, they're getting that energy too. And I think the more that we spread that energy out into the world is a really good thing. It helps alleviate a lot of the negativity in the world.
Yes, absolutely. We're so conditioned. It's such a habit, and our brains are sort of equipped to look for the negative. So yes, to be on a consciousness path is to stay committed to the path of joy. You know, that's a big part of it. And that it's so powerful when we have that, like, I'm claiming my joy, I'm claiming my delight in life. Like, that is such great medicine. And it starts to shift the tendencies for our brain to go toward the negative and move toward the more optimistic, that stance that, and the awareness of what a miracle this world and this life is, and our ability to interact with one another. This heart-to-heart soul exchange is such a miracle, such a gift. And when we are so wrapped up in the negative, we lose sight of the beauty that's right here in front of us.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
Because when it's negative, we even get into that moment. Or we should be doing the ha-ha moments, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. People can bring you down so fast.
Yeah, around you too. So yeah, you try to remember those aha moments. Aha. That's
what
I need to remember today.
Yeah. And it's not to say that we don't experience or deny the traumas, the griefs, the tragedies that are happening in the world, whether they're right close, happening right now in our own world, in our own life and relations, or out just outside our sphere, right? Or in other parts of the world. It's not in denial of that, but it's wholeness. It's the ability to recognize all and to centralize joy.
Yes.
As a source of power, as a source of hope, as a source of healing that we then bathe over the grief, the tragedy, the pain, the suffering that is also valid and part of our human experience in this world. So it's not denial, but it is embrace.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, you know, we have a choice to be happy or not, regardless of what is happening in our life, because sometimes we're not in a good spot in our lives and things aren't all roses and happiness around us, but we can still, even in those moments of trauma and those moments of dread, we can still choose joy at the beginning of the day and try to live in that. It's not a perfect world, but I think we have that choice. And I think sometimes you're right with what we say to ourselves, we don't choose joy by what we're saying to ourselves.
Yeah. And we're not choosing wellness.
Right.
We're not choosing joy as well. I think that that's the real currency. Joy is a currency. We want so much abundance in our life, so much blessing in our life, so much ease in our life. I think the currency that makes that change comes from holding and refueling and recognizing the joy that is available for us right here, right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, while holding grief, pain, suffering, it's all in both. Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you were going to get information, a good piece of information, anybody that's listening today about what they could do to bring happiness into their life, what would it be?
Ooh. I think that for me, my greatest, you know, it's not really advice, but it is an invitation. And that invitation is your declaration to be a healed ancestor, your declaration to be on the path of consciousness, and that that heals the generations behind you, the generations forward, the generations around you, when you make this declaration. And it isn't that once we heal, like, it's to recognize, yes, I have healed so much, and it's ever evolving. I am continually in the stance of recognizing where I can continue to expand healing. But when we declare we are that, I feel like there's a sense of like, if I am the healed ancestor, who am I in my being? I am whole, I am complete, I am radiant in my joy and my vitality, despite any situation or circumstance. And I think there's a real power that comes from one's declaration, from one's position in life, and it gives you back a place of belonging and centeredness. And that centeredness is so vital, a place to come home to again and again, right? That's where we get to wrap ourselves in grace, wrap ourselves in our values,
You had a quote on your website. I had to write it down because it's one of my favorite quotes by Marianne Hasna. Yes. A healer does not heal you. A healer is someone who holds space for you while you awaken your inner healer so you may heal yourself. I saw that quote on your website and it gives me goosebumps because I love that so much. And I found such a powerful statement.
And that's so important for empaths, right? Because the way that we would, right from the beginning, I said we could choose to be a healer and think that we need to take things on. It is about holding space to allow one to recognize they are their own healer. And that is such a potent thing to witness. When somebody, right, you're nodding because you probably recognized it. When somebody sees and declares, I am my own healer. I get to bless my own life. And you see them really embody that for a moment. It is the greatest gift. It is such a privilege and honor to bear witness to one's claiming of the healer that they are.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I agree so much. And I think that's important, and I love that you're giving out that message, and we can share that message with you of you know, tap into those things in yourself to heal yourself and to find out just how much, as we heal, I think we heal others around us by things that we learn and concepts that we take in, and then we share that wealth with other people. It just creates such a great feeling. I love it.
In what we begin to say, in our beliefs, and all the subtle ways that they emanate from us, but mainly from our presence, the energy that we bring into a space, we change. I'd heard another healer say, you go into it, you get to change the atmosphere.
You do. Oof,
that's powerful.
That is
powerful. The one that can shift and bring joy into a space. Now that's an incredible contribution to yourself and to others. Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah.
And why not share all that stuff? Why not share it all?
No, that's the good part of it all.
It is. Yeah. And I'm a big believer. Like I really love the grateful practice and affirmations are my big thing. And I love tapping into those. And I generally do them in the morning because for me, it just sets my day of, and it's amazing what you, well, we have so much to be grateful, everything really. So it's so nice to actually for myself to put pen to paper and say those and say the affirmations. And then I collect them as I go and I'm listening to people and you get the messages and it's like, oh, I better add that onto my affirmation list. I don't know how long it will get, but.
I love it. Yeah. Affirmations are so potent. Yeah.
Yeah. They really speak to your soul. And it's funny when I'm doing them, some days, some resonate more for me than other ones do. And it kind of gives you a perception of where you are in that day and in that moment. And how that's going to transpire into your day.
Yeah. And speaking right into that, of those moments where it's really easeful to embody the affirmation, and then recognizing those moments where there is resistance. And that's part of a great part of the healing of, oh, there's resistance with this affirmation. I get to explore that further. What part of me is a no to receiving in this area? And you get to delve deeper into what's present and feel your way through. And then to the point where, like, you move through it, all the ickiness, you feel through it, you get clear about what actions you need to take. And then the next day or the next week, right, you say that affirmation again and you feel it really getting into your cells and radiating out. But it's really, the resistance is an invitation to inquire into what is present and what's in the way of your embodiment of these messages of wisdom.
Yeah.
Well said, yes.
I like to put them around my house too, so that when people open a cupboard, they're there. And then it's like, even if they just read it and are like, especially company or something, like,
what the hell?
Why would she have that in there? It gives them pause to think, right? To just in that second, just let their mind see if it resonates with them or not. So I like to do that just to mess with people's minds a little bit.
I love it. And it's also, they're a part of their soul has got to remember. And in their moments of struggle or pain or drifting off into thought, they might have a moment of remembering the cupboard that they opened and what they read, or inquiring, why would she put that there? I mean, the brain is constantly working, right? So it may bring up questions for them. And that's a beauty. It's basically an invitation that you're giving them when they get to read that, of like, wow, the, all sorts of questions get to come up. That curiosity is so powerful. Yeah, exactly.
And give them their post-it notes.
Yeah, I love it.
It's all over the place. I went in my bathroom. You open up the bathroom cabinet. It says, good morning, beautiful, smile. And my granddaughter says to me, grandma. And I said, well, makes you smile, doesn't it? I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. And what a great example for your granddaughter, right? That's going to stay with her.
Yeah, it will. And it does, because Kimmy's very good. She's raising her granddaughter here. And she's got all these affirmations all over the place. So this young girl, she it's hard for her to get mad.
Nice. But there is a lot of eye rolls because she is a teenager.
Right. And that's okay. That's part of it. That age is where we really are discerning, you know, when we're toddlers, but also again in adolescence, what is our yes, what is our no, kind of going against, where are our boundaries, where are our margins? But it's all sort of seeping in, and the things that speak to our soul will be with us in those dark days, those dark moments. This wisdom will come back and comfort them. It will bring them embrace at a time when they may feel alone.
And we need that, right? We need that thing to draw, and that gives us that comfort around us while we're trying to navigate through this crazy thing they called life.
Yes, exactly. Life-lifing. Yes.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to talk to you. You were very positive about things, and that's what we're trying to generate out to the world, is, you know, try to be as positive as you possibly can be in a day, because it'll just make your world that much easier for that day anyway. And one day at a time, like you said, forever, you know. That's where your wishes are made, and that's where you make successes happen, right, by that. So wonderful.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for engaging in this beautiful conversation
together. Oh, we appreciate you being on. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Sure. My website is drnatasha.net, so drnatasha.net. And so you can find out an information there. And then my Instagram handle is very long, my name, the Dr. Natasha Gotham Paris. So you can find some information about me there. And then also on LinkedIn with a similar handle. And then, I'm always having different workshops and groups. And then I also, like I said, have private practice. So seeing people in person, sometimes people will fly in to receive care. But yes, I would say that, you know, my practice really centralizes women and femmes of color that have really dealt with generational harm and that are going through their consciousness journey, their change-making journey, and they need to really resource themselves. So if there's somebody in your life and they are in a place of struggle and have forgotten that sense of tapping into joy as power, I hope that you'll come back and remember this conversation and connect with any of us healers here, right? Because that's so important, that there is a community available that is holding space for your joy, that's rooting and celebrating for your joy in this moment, for you to receive it, and then for you to emanate it and generate it moving forward in your life.
Absolutely.
That's, yeah, beautiful. I love that message. So
yeah,
thank you so much. And it was been just a pleasure having you on, and getting to share your energy and joy has been amazing. So appreciate it so much.
Yes, it's mutual. Yeah.
Come back with us again sometime, maybe, and
I'd love to.
Let's increase this in a different way again with what you're doing, and
yeah,
empowerment into the world would be lovely.
Yeah. We could chat a little bit more about those tools. That's always so fun to give people the actual like tools that they can use every day. So yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Okay.
About what you do and what we do, what I do for clearing rooms and spaces.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that.
Fun.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much again. And everybody, we will see you next week.
Peace. All right.